Good morning. Isn't it good to be together again? Praise the Lord for it. Aren't you glad we can worship His Majesty this morning? He is so worthy of all praise and honor that we'll give Him today. And it's good to see a good crowd today, and so thankful to be back together again. And thank the Lord for it. And we welcome you to Marbleton Free Will Baptist Church. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your blessings, Your goodness, all Your mercy and grace. And Father, we're so thankful that we can call upon You. We're so thankful that we can meet in Your name. We're so thankful, Lord, for Your many wonderful blessings. I'm thankful for an empty grave today. I'm thankful for the United States of America and for as we celebrate Memorial Day. And Lord, we thank You for each and every one that laid down their life that we could enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. And Father, we thank You for America. We ask You to continue to bless America and help us to get in the position where You can bless us. And Father, we thank You and praise You for this wonderful, wonderful day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to read a thank you card. It said, thank you for your donation to Gideon's International in memory of my husband. Jim supported their distribution of Bibles around the world, so your gift is truly cherished. Sincerely, Helen Bowman. This is Joanne's brother and sister-in-law. Memorial Day is an American holiday and observed the last Monday of May, honoring men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. And then this year, it occurs on the 25th, of course, we know tomorrow. Originally known as Decoration Day, it originated in the years following the Civil War and became an official federal holiday in 1971. And many Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries and memorials, holding family gatherings, and participating in parades. But I guess, and it's unofficially, is the beginning of summer. So I think most things open up around this time. But want to take a moment at this time, and all that's served in the military, any branch, would you stand this morning? We want you to honor ye all our vets, all our veterans that has served. We got some. Thank you. Now I want to ask everyone if they would to stand, and let's say the pledge to the flag this morning. Are you glad to be an American? I think we're still the greatest nation in the world, the most blessed nation, and it's because of God is why we're blessed so much. And I thank Him for it today. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know, I told some guys this week, one of the most patriotic and one of the most thrilling things, sends a chill up my spine, tell you this, I guess I'm an old country boy, to hear the recording of John Wayne saying the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. To me, that's just about tops right there. That's pretty cool. But at this time, we're going to have some special singing. I'm going to ask Gary and Steve and Lisa to come and share with us.
Social distance.
I can't read that far away.
Good job. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that song. I like to think about heaven, what it's going to be. You ever tried to imagine? Of course, the Bible tells us we can't, but you ever tried to imagine what heaven's going to be like and how wonderful and blessed and get to see all of the people we've read about in the Bible and get to see our loved ones that's going on to be at the Lord? But I tell you, most of all, we get to see Jesus. Amen. I'm longing and looking forward to that day. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to. Thank you, Brother Ray. We pick your Sunday school literature up as you go out. Hebrews chapter 11. If you would stand with me, honor a reading of God's Word. Hebrews 11, I'm going to read verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for each and every one that's here. Now, Father, we ask you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be upon the old preacher boy. Lord, I'm unworthy to stand here, but I pray you'll make me usable. Forgive me and my sins. I ask you to illuminate my thinking and touch my vocabulary. Lord, that you'd touch us and help. And God, that you'd be in control of this service and that you would accomplish everything that you have in mind. May we honor you, uplift and glorify your holy and precious name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to, of course, today is Memorial Day, and I want to preach a message kind of about Memorial Day, but it talks a lot about the Christian faith. And Abel speaks on Memorial Day, and then in Zechariah, the Bible in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." You know, Satan and his evil forces is always present to resist the righteous. Anytime at anything and anybody's going to do anything good, the devil is going to be in resist the righteous. And Adam and Eve was not exempt from this, that their family included. And if you want to turn with me, I want to read a few verses and the story and then here between Hebrews, but it's in Genesis chapter 4, starting at verse 1. And the Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. But unto Cain and unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him." So we see here a sin. One brother slew his other brother. They let a sin creep in and jealousy. But in verse 10, the Bible that goes on to say that the Abel's blood cried to the Lord from the ground. And
Then in verse 11 here in chapter 11, verse 4 here in Hebrews, that the Bible says that at the end of that, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. So today we want to hear and listen what Abel says. We want to hear something that he speaks to us on Memorial Day. And as we look at this, that he, first thing that I see, that Abel speaks to us of the sinfulness of man. The fall in Genesis chapter 3, of course, we're all familiar with Adam and Eve's sins and the original sins of mankind, and they are separated from God. There's a great gulf fix. We see here in chapter 4 the violence, and also in chapter 6 of Genesis it talks of the violence that has filled the earth, and we see that sin today. See, We have a lot of people that thinks they've got a lot of answers, but I'll tell you the answer in society in the United States and around the world today is sin. Sin is the problem. We think people's the problem. Sin is the problem. When we have allowed sin into our lives, sin is what causes all the problems. See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And then in verse 23 of chapter 3, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's something about every one of us. Everyone is a sinner. There was only one that wasn't a sinner, and that was Jesus Christ. And then sinners break down into two groups. We have forgiven sinners and unforgiven sinners. And that's just as plain and simple as it is, isn't it? I'm glad I'm in the forgiven side. How about you? Amen. I'm glad that my sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ and I have allowed Him to take it for me. See, sin is a problem. In Isaiah, he said, our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. We're not good enough to stand before God. We're not good enough. We have to have somebody to come and for us. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus talks of this problem also. And he says in 15, starting at verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. And as we looked and Jesus looked at this, it is inside of us. Jeremiah went on to say that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We're naturally born because of the fall with the flesh, and we are born sinners. Now, I know this is not a popular message. That none of us wants to be told we're bad, do we? But today I feel like this is the way that the Lord's leading. But I've got good news. I've told you some bad news. Now I'm going to tell you some good news. But Jesus came to change our hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad of that? He can take an old stony heart, old rough fella, and make something sweet and nice out of it. And make a saint out of an old rough, hardcore person. Aren't you glad of that today? I'm so thankful for that today. I'm thankful for, I don't know, I can't say much about anybody else. I know what He's done for me. I know the difference that He's made in my life. Now, I'm still not going to say I'm perfect. I'm far from it. Rhonda would amen that. But I am in the forgiven crowd. My sins are under the blood and they've done away with, and I never had to answer for them again, Brother Tim. that they've been taken care of. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far my sins has been. They've been buried in the sea of forgetfulness, and he put up a sign that said, no fishing. Glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that today? I'm thankful for the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Not only does he speak of the sinfulness of man, he speaks of the shortness of life. There's something, the statistic is just overwhelming. One out of one is going to die. Wow. 10 out of 10. That's an overwhelming statistic. And the Bible says that in Psalm 90 verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years or 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years or 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it soon cut off and we fly away. James says that life is as a vapor or a fog. And there's one thing about it that it says here in 19 verse 10, that even if you live to 80 year old, you're going to say, where has time gone? Wow, it's been short. It's been fast. I can say I'll be 55 this year. I can start getting senior citizens discount. He's one good thing about it. And I say, where in the world has time gone? Wow, I can't believe this. I used to be the youngest guy on the crew. I used to be one of the young ones at church. I worked with the youth. You got to be young to do that. Now I'm the old guy on the block. Wow. Where did time go? And it won't be long, and I'll go off the scene. Life is brief. Life is short. I encourage you, do what you can now. Work in the day because the night's coming. And do what you can now. I'm going to say it spiritually, and I'm going to say it secularly too. If there's anything you want to do, do it now. Do it while you're young. If you got that vacation that you're saving for and you want, do it. If it's something, do it, because you're going to, I'm going to tell you, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to look like this. Well, maybe not this bad. But it comes, and what you do, and I want to go spiritually with you. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, don't put it off. Get excited for the Lord and get a hold and get in and get involved in the work of the Lord. And one of the reasons that I encourage you to do that, because now us older folks, Gary's no spring chicken either. I'm not going to say a word about the pianist. I'm staying away from that. But we're going to need replacements. The Sunday school teachers, somebody's going to have to step up. The ones doing VBS and all this, we're going to have, because we're getting older. And so it's our job, and us elder ones, we've got to train them. And we've got to get them ready for the task that's ahead. If anybody has a position, they need a replacement, and be working on them. Amen? Amen. I can't find one. Ain't nobody wants to be the preacher. And also in Psalm 90 and verse 12, the Bible says to number your days. Know where you are in life. I mean, of course, we don't have no promise of tomorrow, but know, remember that your days are short. If you've got to ask somebody to forgive you, today's the day to do it. If you've made somebody mad, that now's the time to take care of that. If somebody's made you mad, go to them and say, I forgive you. Amen. And we need to do this and remember to number our days. Because Jesus gives eternal life, though. John 3:16, we all know that verse, but let me quote you another one. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Aren't you thankful for that today? I want this, before I go to the next verse, to the next point, I want to ask you, are you prepared for eternity today? If today would be your last day, are you ready to meet the Lord? That is one of the most important questions you'll ever answer. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Is He the Lord of your soul? Have you trusted Him? Or is He just someone that we admire? Amen? All right, then the third one, not only did he speak of the sinfulness of man, the shortness of life, he speaks of salvation through faith. Though he was a young man, he was ready to meet God. Abel was ready to meet the Lord. And it was not because of what he grew. It was not because that he was the youngest. It was not because he loved mom and daddy more than the other one did. It was because of the faith that he had in God. The Bible said that he brought a more perfect sacrifice. And he brought the sacrifice. His sacrifice took away the human side out of everything. The sacrifice of Cain magnified man. The sacrifice of Abel pointed toward the cross. It was a type of the blood that was slain, the lamb that was slain in the blood of Jesus Christ. He was looking forward. He was still, he spoke of Jesus in his sacrifice. He, with the faith of the blood of Jesus Christ. It was faith that made the difference between the sacrifices. Amen? He wasn't trusting in himself, Brother Tim. He was trusting in someone far greater. And when I came to the altar, Brother Ray, I was finished with myself, and I laid and crucified and put, said, Tim is garbage. Lord, get away from him and do something with him. And it is faith in Jesus Christ is the only hope that we have. And as we see here, that he brought a more perfect sacrifice. If you look in Hebrews 12, verse 24, the Bible says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See, Abel was speaking, pointing toward the cross. But Jesus fulfilled it. He was the type, and Jesus, they call it the antitype, which is the fulfillment of the type of the Old Testament. Glory, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that today? In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's faith in Jesus Christ that is the only thing that will ever take you to heaven. Faith in a preacher won't do it. Faith in a denomination won't do it. Faith in mom and daddy's salvation won't do it. Faith in grandma or grandpa's salvation won't do it. It's only faith in Jesus Christ that we come one-on-one with Him and we say, will you forgive me of my sins and come into my heart? I believe you're the Son of God and that you arose from the dead, and I accept your forgiveness. Amen? Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified, just as if I had never sinned, by faith in Him. Not by faith because I'm a good person. I've had so many people tell me through the years, well, I'm a good person. I pay my taxes. I don't cheat on my spouse. I don't steal off of nobody. I even go the speed limit. Amen. Hey, a lot of Christians can't say that. A lot of preachers can't say that. It don't matter how good we are. I'm going to tell you something this morning. And you might say, I really don't believe that. There's going to be a lot of good people in hell. There's going to be a lot of good people that's thought they're doing good. And they're living a good life. But they've never accepted the forgiveness. See, none of us is good because of sin. Now, I'm not here to try to tear your ego down this morning. I'm not tearing us down. I'm lifting him up. I'm telling you how wonderful he is and how great he is, because it's all about him. If you go to heaven, you will go no other way other than through the blood of Jesus Christ. You will not make it any other way. I hope the last message I ever preach, Gary, I'm still saying the same thing. I hope I never get away, because it's the truth. Is the only way to heaven. He's not a way, he's the way. Glory, hallelujah. He's not one of many roads, he is the road. He is the only means of salvation. Through him is the only way you ever get to heaven. As we see that Abel speaks of the sinfulness of man, of the shortness of life, of the salvation, of faith, and then he speaks of the span of a righteous life. He lived a short life. He didn't get to be old. He's not in there that he was all these hundreds of years old. But his life still speaks today. Wow. Probably 6,000 years, and we're still talking about his faith. We're still talking about his life and his faith in God. Wow. I don't know about you, but that just blows me away. And any time we ever talk about Cain, it's in a negative way. But a righteous man with faith in the Lord, and that his testimony and his works last on and on and on. And will last throughout all eternity. See, even though it's a short life, it still speaks. The length of faith in the life cannot be limited by physical death. I want to say that again. The length of the faith life cannot be limited by physical death. Death, when it's supernatural life that is in a person, it will never die. And it will keep living on and on and on. I want to ask you about the apostles. These are some old rough guys. Most of them rough old fishermen. Now, Steve, don't take this to heart, but most fishermen you can't even believe. They caught a fish and it's that big. They was tax collectors, all kinds of rough guys. And today, the salvation we enjoy came through their preaching. Man, what a testimony. What a life of faith that they had, that still yet people's being saved through the gospel they preached. Wow. What about a dear old saint of God that you know? Can you think of it? Just think right now. Can you think of someone in your lifetime that you think, who is it you say, boy, if they don't make it to heaven, I might as well forget it. We've got those, don't we? Amen. And see, who do you know who is impacted, but who are you impacted? Who and what are we doing that's going to impact lives for years and years and years? Even when we're gone off the scene, what are they going to remember us for? What's going to be the message that our testimony will speak out of the grave? Or epitaph, maybe even, on the, what would it read? What was it? I seen something that had Rodney Dangerfield, and it said on his, "There goes the neighborhood." See, Alfred Cutshaw made a big impact on my life. I sat under him several years, and he was my pastor. He baptized me. He trained me. He was the pastor I become a deacon under. He give me so much wisdom and spoke to me so many ways. He is still carrying on today. His ministry, and I'm one of many. And what an influence that man has had in a lot of folks' life down around the Limestone area and other areas. My mama's another one. Wow, I can still hear her pray. I remember getting ready to go out the door, and she'd run up and lay her hands on me and said, "You better let me pray for you before you go." And she took me to church every time the doors opened. I think of Oney Moore, a little old godly woman. I learned how to praise the Lord in prayer by watching her. I'd see her lay at an altar for hour after hour and say, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And just praise and magnify His name. For I'm not joking, hours at a time. I remember Virgie Jones was my primary Sunday school teacher. What the sweetest little woman. When I went and seen her after I got in church and she was in the hospital and didn't even know who I was. And I went in before church one Sunday morning and read a verse to her, and she finished the verse. She couldn't tell you who I was. She still knowed what the Word of God was. And her sister, Corey Kopp, wow, what a woman to serve the Lord, and a godly little woman. I've seen her lay and pray for hours and play the piano, serving of the Lord. Henry Bailey is another. If he was ever two that they could compare together, Henry Bailey and Alfred Cutshaw had to be the same. Henry Bailey was one of them, and his finger would reach to the back pew. Had big, just like Alfred, tall, lanky, and them big, long fingers. These were servants of God that's gone on to be with the Lord. But their testimony sure rings hard, loud and clear in my heart, in my soul today. I thought about these as I was preparing this message. See, I want to be one of them. I want to be one of them. I want these young folks to remember when they start getting old and they got kids and they... Hey, you know, one thing about it, he wasn't too good to look at, but boy, he sure stood up there and told us the truth. Amen. He didn't have much hair, many of his teeth, overweight. I got more this week than I had last week, praise the Lord. I don't sound like Speck Road this week. But what are we going to be remembered for? I want to be remembered for faith in the Lord. I say one thing about him. He trusted the Lord. And I'm just about ready to close. And I want to ask you, does your family know your testimony? Does your family know who you are in the Lord and where you are? I say it's important. Preacher Cutshaw used to beat on this all the time. He said it's important that your family knows your testimony, because when it comes that time, they'll have peace at it. Does your family know your testimony? Does your best friend know your testimony? Does your co-workers know where you stand with the Lord? What about your neighbors? Do they know where you stand with the Lord? It's important that people knows who we are, and we can have that longing effect. I mean, long after we're long gone. Abel's been gone, I said, probably close to 6,000 years. I don't know exactly, but he still speaks of faith in the Lord when we talk about him. He's still speaking, as the Bible says. Our faith will continue to speak on and on and on. And before we close, I want to ask you, are you a Christian? Do you know the Lord? Have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? And you might say, preacher, I'm not sure I believe all that. Well, it's the truth. I believe it because of the Word of God says it. But I can tell you how else I can prove it is what I've experienced in my life. There is nothing like the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. Amen. To help you, encourage you, and to convict you. You know how I know that I'm all right with the Lord? Because when I mess up, the Holy Spirit says, "Damn, what are you doing?" Amen. Amen. You get that? And boy, that's a good thing. You might say we can't get by with nothing. I couldn't get by with anything as growing up. The Holy Spirit would tell Mama. She knew it when I got home. That's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I encourage you today, if you don't have that relationship with Him, this is a good day to nail it down. Memorial Day, what a great day. What a good, easy day to remember your day, wasn't it? But I also want to encourage the believers today. It'd be a good day to really, really say, I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave a testimony for my family, for my neighbors, for my co-workers. Everybody that ever hears my name, they'll say, I don't know a whole lot, but they trusted the Lord. I want to be that one. Brother Ray, as years down the road, they say, if Tim Broyles didn't make it to heaven, ain't no need me trying. I don't think I'll have to worry about that, but that's my goal. I'd like that to be. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again, and Lord, we're so thankful to be able to call upon you. And Father, I'm thankful, Father, for your blessings. And I thank you for the day you saved my soul. I thank you for the testimony that Abel has left in the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for some dear friends and dear folks and family members that I've known through the years that's left a testimony. Lord, that has impacted me. And Father, I pray that you'd help us today. Lord, that we would have a goal and a desire to serve you in such a way that it impact the generations down the road. Father, I love you. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for what you have done in my life. Now, Lord, magnify yourself in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.